On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Hope is often what helps us get up in the morning. I hope I feel better. I hope things go well today. We often greet people who have been struggling with the words, "I hope you're feeling better," or "I hope things are improving." Scientists tell us that one major ingredient in healing is hope. The Christian message offers an even deeper meaning to hope. Today we light the candle that represents the good news that gives the world hope. The good news that Christ has come gives us hope in spite of our circumstances. The good news gives us hope that no matter what we might be facing, we can make it. Because of Christ's advent into history, our hope is really more expectancy. The battle for eternity has been won, and we proclaim a living hope that Christ is coming again. The good news gives us hope that God will help us, and with God's help, we can face whatever might come our way today and forever. Today, because of the good news of Christmas, we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of hope.
Amen. Hope. Hope is what has brought us here together for this time of worship that we have already begun. I hope our hearts and our minds are attuned to how the Spirit is leading us this morning in worship. And in that spirit, let's listen to Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Psalmist says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." Let us pray. God, thank You for caring for us. Thank You for making us. And God, thank You for giving us hope in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.
The angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Let's sing like the angels today. Angels from the Realms of Glory, 94. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Oh, Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask that you go with all the people on the prayer list and those that are not on it. And as we go through this holiday season and all the hustle and bustle, that you help people remember what the season's really about. We also ask that you take this offering and use it to further your kingdom. In the holy name we pray. Amen.
Morning. So good to see so many of you. I love our time together during Christmas. Can't you just tell there's a different spirit when we're gathered together as the church worshiping during Christmas? Plenty of room for everybody. I want somebody to ring this bell for me. Who will ring this bell? You will? Ring this bell for me. You can ring it louder than that. It got your attention, right? Yeah, you had to cover yours a little bit. It got your attention, right? The bell was loud and you looked at it. Your attention was gone towards the bell, right? You hear school bells, that gets your attention. Church bells, we hear church bells. And now this time of year outside of stores, you see people ringing bells, right? You've seen people ringing bells outside of stores. They get your attention, you know? Years ago, long time ago, people would ring bells on street corners to get people's attention, to tell them the town news, what's going on in the town. We don't have to do that now. We can read the newspaper, we can watch the news on TV, we can read online, all sorts of ways to get news about what's going on, right? Well, in Isaiah, we hear about a prophet. We hear about someone that is going to come, actually, John the Baptist, to talk about Jesus, to prepare us for the good news he's going to bring, so we'll be ready to listen. And if you remember last week, Gary talked to us about when John the Baptist's mother and Jesus' mother, Mary, met each other before either one were either born, and they were really excited. It was such an exciting meeting they had together. And they knew that John the Baptist was going to tell people to be ready to listen to Jesus. And it's really important because Jesus had a lot for us to understand, and they needed people to be prepared for that. Listen to what Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say about John the Baptist preparing people to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. It says, "I will send my messenger ahead of you." It's talking about John the Baptist, "who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness says, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And when I was thinking about how important it was for us to talk about John the Baptist and how he was preparing everybody to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, I thought about how important it is for us to help other people listen to the good news of Jesus Christ during Christmas. So this month, when you're excited for December 25th, Christmas Day, and you get excited for everything that involves, make sure you talk to people about the reason we're celebrating it to begin with, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then people will be prepared to listen to what he teaches us. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, and that the way we're able to celebrate his birth this month. Guide us in helping us to tell other people about that. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
In just a moment, FSYC is going to come to the scene. Matt's fixing to go help with Children's Church, but I just want to remind everybody, next Sunday, after morning worship, we're going to have a covered dish in our fellowship hall to honor Matt and Lauren. And so plan to be that. The food, we're counting on you to bring it. So we're hoping to have a great time as we share together a celebration with him. FSYC.
SYC was singing this morning to let you know that tonight at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, they'll be presenting their Christmas program, and we'd love for you to all be here. Now we're going to sing the first verse of four carols. Let's stand as we sing. 106 is the first one. Infant Holy is the Lord.
Indeed, we are grateful for the privilege and opportunity we have to gather and to worship our Lord. And part of that is our prayer for those who have special needs. And today I'd like to add one name to that list of yours. That is the name of Brenda Verneau. That is Kevin Lambert's mother-in-law, who will be having surgery this Thursday. And we do want to add one more name, and that's a praise, and that's the name of Bailey, James, both there, and we are excited to have Granddad and Great-Granddad here, and we want to be remembering Brittany and Bailey, who was born this past Thursday. So we are indeed grateful for that gift. Also see the names that are listed there in our ongoing prayer. We want to be remembering the family of Frank Jones. Some of you who may have gone with us on some of our fishing trips may remember him. That is Roger Worrell's brother-in-law, who passed away suddenly. We want to keep that family lifted up in our prayers. Kim Newman still will be hearing some more news in these next few days. We want to keep her lifted up. And Tony Reagan is home struggling with kidney stones. Lord, shall we indeed sing Noel? Shall we indeed prepare our hearts as we prepare our homes to worship you? Heavenly Father, we begin this morning in our prayer time with these needs that are before us. Of people that we love. Of people who have family members who need your special touch. And we ask, O God, that you might bless them. And then, Lord, we pray that you might help us as we worship today. For, Lord, spiritually, we are so dependent upon you, we can't really even worship you without your help. You might change our focus, that we might hear and see what you would say to us today. And then, Lord, would you prepare our future? Oh, not that future of years down the road, but the future of this afternoon, the future of tonight, and the future of tomorrow. That you might speak to us clearly today, that we might be able to move forward into that future with you leading and guiding and directing all that we do and all that we are and all that we might be. In Jesus' name we ask. Thank you, choir, for reminding us of the goodwill that God has brought our way. Let me invite you to open your Bibles back to Luke chapter 1. We continue to examine the songs of Christmas, and today we look at Mary's song. Mary, can you imagine the 10 months of her life, from the time it was announced that she would be pregnant with the Christ child. Through the ordeal she went through with telling that to Joseph, and then to her mom and dad, and then to live in Nazareth, a small town, communities kind of like Deep River, where news travels fast and sometimes changes as it goes. And then that night, that first Christmas night, when the birth pangs were remedied by the birth of her firstborn, that because there was no room, she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a feeding trough. Maybe at that moment wondering, until maybe the shepherds showed up to say, "Oh, we heard about this." Mary's song. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who walked with him from Bethlehem to Calvary, who was there when he was born, who was there when he died on the cross. Mary. Luke chapter 1. We'll read verses 46 through 56. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? And Mary said, "My soul magnifies. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And behold, now, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty, he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months. That was Elizabeth. And then returned to her home. Would you pray with me? God, would you bless what we've just read? Would it become more than words, but may it become thoughts that begin to speak to our spirit and change us from who we are to who we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Mary. What must it have been like? Wonder what she really understood. Mary, did you know? Wonder what he knew. Wonder what she knew. Wonder what I know. Wonder what you know about this Jesus, about his call on our life. Some of you may remember Home Improvement. Remember that great show? One day it was during the Christmas program, and they had given the children the letters to spell out Noel. And they got rearranged. And when that important moment came, the name Noel, the name Leon came up. That's Noel backwards. And I thought, Christmas backwards. We got some things backwards. What could Mary teach us? What did she discover? Maybe she didn't know it at that time in Bethlehem at that manger scene, that first manger scene. But oh, she grew to know it. Are we growing to know? Today our song is Mary's song. It's a song of hope as we lit that candle. This special woman, given a tremendous responsibility like us, and a tremendous reward like we are promised. May God speak to us. I think he begins with that word magnify. Magnify the Lord. I looked up the word magnify. To increase the apparent size of. Can we increase the size of Jesus in our life, in our words, in our deeds, in our actions? The second definition said to make greater in actual size, to enlarge. That's what magnify means, to magnify. The third definition said to cause to seem greater or more important. attribute too much the great importance. The fourth definition was to make more exciting, to intensify, to dramatize. The playwright magnified the situation. And then the last definition, the fifth one, was that we just read, to praise or to extol, to magnify the Lord. In verse 30 of chapter 1 that we didn't read today, it says that Mary found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I would love for people to be able to say on me on that Memorial Day service, when I am remembered because my life here on this earth is over, I would love for them to be able to say he found favor with the Lord. I'd be okay with that. That's all you could say. That'd be enough. That he found favor. He found favor with the Lord. How do you find favor with God? Well, I'm glad you asked. I think that's our challenge. That's our goal. That's what you were created for. You want to know what the meaning of life was or is? Just to magnify the Lord. That's it. I've given it to you. Go home and say, today in our worship, we got the answer to the great question in life. That's it. To magnify God in our life, in our living, in our daily operations, to magnify Him. How do you find favor? How do you magnify Him? In worship. In worship, let me ask you, do you do church or are you church? If you do church, you don't magnify God. If you are church, if you eat it, if you drink it, if you are the body of Christ, if you live to be here in this place with this people, and when we're dispersed from this place, to be praying for each other and caring for each other, and when we go into the world to find others who need to be a part who we are in your being church. And you're magnifying God. God made us to worship Him. When we magnify Him, we begin to find our meaning, our purpose. You ever wonder why we like ball? Because we like to worship something. You ever wonder why the Olympics are so special? Because we get excited. And yeah, we kind of worship. Because God created us with a desire to see something great, to see something marvelous, to see something extraordinary, to see somebody do something to the very best of their ability, to do something that everybody can't do. And here before me, in this little manger scene, is the story of why we were created and where our real worship was. We also find favor with God by being faithful. When we're faithful to God. When Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your words. And the angel left her. She put her faith in action. Are we magnifying God through our obedience? Through faithful service? Can others find their way to Christ by following us? Magnifying God. Is God magnified in our life? I remember as a child I like to collect coins early off, and there were two little widows who lived next door to me who collected coins. And we'd go over, and I thought they had this most marvelous thing. It was a magnifying glass. Oh, I mean, that thing, I loved that thing at age 9. And you could see those coins, you know, some of them, they'd be real faded, but you put them under that glass and you move that back a little bit, and suddenly those faint lines that without the magnification you couldn't see, suddenly you could see clearly. You could read numbers. You could read words. You could read mint marks. You could see things when you magnified it. That's what God wants in our life. He wants us to magnify Him, that we might see life through Him. Mary found favor by magnifying the Lord in her song. Secondly, She speaks of a mighty thing. I love verse 49. This is a mighty thing that God is doing. Humble Mary realized that the miracle of Christmas was the child she carried. Oh, I can't imagine their day, she and Joseph's. They were mighty terrible in some ways and mighty exciting in others. They were mighty challenging in some ways and they were mighty satisfying in others. It's an amazing thing to carry Christ in your body like Mary did. I can only imagine. I can't imagine what it would be like to be pregnant with. Well, I can't imagine what it's like to be pregnant anyway. Let's just go ahead and own that. But can you who have been pregnant before, can you imagine knowing that when you feel the kick, it's the Son of the Almighty God? Humble Mary was given the job of carrying the Christ child in her body for 9 months. That's an amazing thing. In the deacon's supper last night, I asked the deacons, what's going to amaze you this Christmas? Not what's going to frustrate you. Not what's going to aggravate you. Not what's going to irritate you. What's going to amaze you this Christmas? And brothers and sisters of mine, if you go this Christmas and you're not amazed, you need to spend time at the altar. You need to come to this altar and kneel and pray. God doesn't amaze you this Christmas. What will amaze you? Are you looking for amazement? Oh, it was amazing that Mary carried the Christ child. And then I began to think, isn't that also our challenge to carry Christ? It is, isn't it? To carry Christ. That's what we're called to do. To carry Christ. Oh, not in our womb as Mary did, but in our heart and in our actions and in our deeds. Are we carrying Christ in our lives? Are we carrying Him in our hearts? Oh, may we humbly realize the miracle of Christmas is when we carry Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. A mighty thing. Can I ask us a question? Is your faith more like Mighty Mouse or Mickey Mouse? You know the difference between those two characters? One is strong and invincible and brave and willing to go and right every wrong. The other just kind of loafs around and looks for fun. Mighty Mouse, here to save the day. Mickey Mouse, come on over to the house to play. What's your faith? A mighty thing is being done. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when the prophet sees the coming Christ, he says, and he's going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a mighty God, a mighty God. Are we spending enough time with God this Christmas to hear what He wants us to do? Sometimes my wife and I have conversation halfway. Don't get ahead of me. I talk, and I think she should listen. Where is she? She gone? And then she talks, and I don't listen. I mean, and it irritates me when I do this. What do I need to get? And she says, when you go to the grocery store, get 3 lemons. And then I get to the grocery store and I said, what was that she said? Because I didn't listen. I was already thinking about the next thing I was going to say, or I was so busy trying to get the keys. I said, what do we need at the grocery store? And then that thought, where are the keys? And I need to find the keys. And she was talking, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. You know how I know I wasn't listening? Because I get to the grocery store and I don't know what she said. I don't know what she said. And I remember her saying it. I know. I remember she made noise at an appropriate time, and it sounded like words. But I didn't listen. I didn't hear what she said. I didn't hear anything she said. How about God? Is he just making noise? It sounds like words. Oh, we sing Away in a Manger. We sing Silent Night, Holy Night. And then we think, oh, but it won't be holy at my house because I've got too much to do for there to be any Christ in my Christmas. A mighty thing God did. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we really listening to what God would have us to say? I love what Ian Bounds, a writer of almost a century and a half ago. He's noted as one of the greatest writers on prayer that's ever been. He said more things. And these are old words, but they will translate into us pretty well. Hear what he says. And think about it this Christmas. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery. It doesn't need a new organization or more novel methods. What the church needs today is, and he uses the language men, so I'll stay to the quote, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Mighty in prayer. Is your prayer life more like Mighty Mouse or more like Mickey Mouse? Oh, would you be honest with God for just a moment? Because probably all of us here have told people we would pray for them and we didn't pray for them. We said, I'll pray for you, and we didn't pray for them. We said, oh, I just need to pray. I need you to pray with me about that. And we wonder why our lives are not powerful, filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing, infecting our homes, infecting our work, infecting our world with the good news of the gospel. But our prayer life's much like Mickey Mouse. Mighty God, a mighty thing you've done. Mary cries out to remind us that what we're about is mighty work. It's important work. It's life-changing work. If God's not doing mighty things in our life, are we trying to do it in our own strength? Oh, could we be honest? Are you doing your Christian walk in your strength or in God's strength? It makes a difference. Please hear me. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in your home. It makes a difference in the community. It makes a difference in your personal life. It makes a difference in how we do it. And too many times I sit, and maybe you sit, and I'm dishonest with God. I sing the praises, but I don't praise. I bow my head when we pray, but I don't pray. I listen for what the great story in the sermon might be, but I don't listen for what the Holy Spirit might say. And when the altar time comes, I don't ask God, what choice would you have me to make that will cause me to leave the worship center different than I walked in? Are you that way? A mighty work. And finally this morning, his mercy has come, verse 50. Mary realized that the long-awaited Messiah Israel had longed for was now growing within her. There is nothing the world needs more than God's mercy. There is nothing the world needs more than God's mercy. There is nothing. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. Listen, there is nothing the world needs more than God's mercy. Did you see San Bernardino this week? Do you remember Paris a few weeks ago? Pick up your paper and see who was shot in Durham, because I promise you, three or four people this week will lose their life in Durham. And multiply Durham by Atlanta and by New York City and by Chicago and by Los Angeles. And we We live in a fallen world, brothers and sisters. We live in a broken world. We live in a sin-stained world. We live in a condemned world. And we should not be surprised when we see tragedy. We should be surprised we don't see more tragedy. Because we live in a fallen world. And what we need, what this world needs, is God's mercy. And what is Christmas? It is the gift of God's mercy. It is the gift of what we need. God has given us exactly what we need. He has given us salvation. He has given us hope. He has given us peace. He has given us joy. He has given us love. He has given us the Christ. He has given us what we need. And Mary, as she sang her song, said, God has had mercy on us. And He has. There's nothing the world needs more than God's mercy. Relationship with God through His mercy is what the world needs. It's what will change it. The sad reality for most of Israel is when this moment, this historical moment that these figurines portray, when Jesus came that first Christmas Eve, Israel missed her Messiah. Israel missed her Messiah. Our Jewish friends still are looking for Messiah. They don't realize He's come. And here's my prayer. I hope it's your prayer. Here's my prayer. I hope it's your prayer. My prayer is, Lord, don't let me miss my Messiah this Christmas. Let me miss a party or two. Let me miss a dessert or two. Let me miss all kind of things, but don't let me miss Messiah. Don't let me miss God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, God's goodness, God's forgiveness, God's gift of heaven. Don't let me miss that. Don't let me miss that. Don't let other things demand more of my attention that I fail to sing Mary's song. Oh, Mary's song is beautiful as it speaks to magnify the Lord. Listen, you'll never understand God's mercy until you magnify God in your heart. And once you magnify Him and realize what a mighty thing He's done, and the way you do that is by spending time with God. No shortcut to spending time with God. Then His mercy becomes powerful and life-changing. And it'll change others. It'll change our circumstance sometimes, but it'll change us always to face our circumstances, whatever they might be. Mary sings the song of Christmas. It's simple. Magnify the mighty deed of God's ultimate mercy for mankind. Hear it again. Magnify the mighty deed of God's mercy for mankind. I need to sing that song. That's my call. That's my purpose. Is to magnify the mighty deed of God's mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray? God, in just a moment or two, we're going to stare You face to face, nose to nose, heart to heart, eye to eye. And we got some choices. One is we can say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a choice You give us. And we'll leave very much like we entered, with the danger of maybe missing what all You do, with a convicted and contrite heart. We can say, Lord, I hear Your voice. You've spoken to me through the music, through the message. You've challenged me, God, and I hear that. And now I've got to make some decisions. I've got to decide, God, whether I'm going to magnify You or I'm just going to keep You in my back pocket. you're going to be leading my parade or somewhere way behind Santa Claus after the parade is over. I got to make some decisions, God. But Lord, every one of us here, every one of us, and maybe now your Holy Spirit, as it pours out on this place and in our individual hearts, minds, and thoughts, probably many of us right now begin to say, yeah, I need some mercy. I need God's grace. I need His love. Oh, I need His forgiveness. Oh, God, what will we do? Mary, did you know? Help me to sing, Gary, do you know? Do you know? Thank you, Almighty God. Help me to magnify your mighty deed of mercy. In Jesus Christ. Help us all to make decisions right now at this holy moment. It might help us to be better husbands and wives, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandparents, co-workers, fellow schoolmates, to magnify you. Mighty God, for your wonderful mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of commitment, our hymn of decision is page 121. Thou didst leave thy throne. Oh, Jesus has done so much for us. What do you need to do? Spiritually speaking, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to prepare yourself for Christmas. May we do that. As we stand again.
Was there found no room for the
you be seated for just a moment? Neil and Angie, come join me. Time flies when you're having fun, and when your backdoor neighbors have started coming to church with you, and I probably can count on one hand how many Sundays Angie and Neil have missed over the last year. God has done an amazing work. We've had several conversations, and they come today feeling that God wants them to become a part of Flat Springs Baptist Church, and Angie comes on request of membership from a sister church in our community, and Neil comes professing his faith in Jesus Christ and wanting to be baptized into our congregation. So if I hear a motion that you would welcome them, do I hear a motion? Y'all are getting so good at this. I'm excited. 11 years and we're there. Amen. If you would join me in welcoming them and rejoicing with the angels in heaven. Would you indicate that by saying hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Neil, we're going to try to be the church that you need, that God can continue to do the great work that he started in your life, and I'm so excited. And Angie, we're going to do the same for you, and we're excited that you're going to help us to be that kind of church. I'm going to ask you to have a seat for just a second right there. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to walk with me. So go ahead and have a seat right now. They're going to be there. You're going to come by and extend a welcome to them. You're going to give them a hug and a handshake. And you're going to do that by also committing to pray for them as they continue their journey in this spiritual realm as God has brought them to our responsibility now, and I'm elated about that. There are several announcements. I just didn't want y'all to stand up here while I have to make these announcements. First of all, we've already mentioned, FSYC will be here tonight. Remember, when you come to hear them, you don't come to magnify FSYC, you come to magnify the Lord and hear what God will say through their program. They've worked hard. It will be worth your time. There's a reception immediately following. Next week, our children will be here, and they'll be presenting their program. There'll be a reception after that. Next week, our choir will be here, and there'll be a reception after that. The reason I tell you all that is we've got receptions till Christmas. Which means we can have a reception for Matt and Lauren as they are going to be going. And by the way, can I share the news of the... Matt did not put his house on the market until the church voted in Jersey. So he put his house on the market Monday. He sold it Tuesday. They bought a house this past Thursday or Friday. And it's all seamless. Does that feel like God might be in the midst of that? That's pretty amazing. So we're excited. But next Sunday, after our morning worship, we're going to have a covered dish in our fellowship hall. It'll be I know that our youth and our children's groups have some things they'll be sharing during that time. Also, our personnel committee will be sharing some things. But it'll just be a time for us, because next Sunday will be Matt's last Sunday with us. He still will be on staff through the 26th, but with some vacation time helping him transition as he moves. So next Sunday will be, I did give him a chance to preach. I may give him a word, but we're excited about what God's doing. So we're going to share that time together. So we ask you to be involved with us in that. We'll try to get a phone tree out to remind you of that as well. This coming Wednesday at 7 a.m., Burger King. Be there. What? Beside, oh, there's two Burger Kings. Who knew? Sanford's got two Burger Kings. The one beside Lee Senior. You're welcome to. Our outreach committee met, and we've been talking for several months, actually, about how can we make an impact on the high school kids. So we're going to gather this Wednesday, and we may set up another one after that and another one after that. We're going to go. We found out we've already sent a group to do some recon work. That's a hard job, you know, recon Burger King, but we did. And we're just going to be there. There's no agenda. We're going to be talking and sharing, and we're going to see what God might do with that. That's about what we got. So if you can come, you're welcome. If you can't, pray for us. Pray for us. 7 o'clock next Wednesday. And we're just going to see if maybe we can, God will put somebody in our path, maybe a high school student. Maybe not. Maybe a worker at Burger King. maybe another patron. Maybe just we need to talk with each other. We don't know. We're going to leave it to be a God thing. We're going to do that. Several of us are committed to be there. So you want to come? We'd love to have you. The policy manuals have been, most of them have all been turned in, and on both sides are the corrections that we'll be voting on in the business meeting. They're out on both sides. If you want to look over those, we will be adopting them during the business meeting next week. Angel need to be in today. Angel tree, what else? Journeys at 5.
Two o'clock.
See how I had so much, there's no way I was going to remember all of this. 2 o'clock, FSYC will be here. They're going to have pizza afterwards.
Instruments of Christ at 2.
Oh. FSYC. Now I've got it all confused. Instruments of Christ at 2. And they've got pizza.
Yep, at
3
o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, see? I know some people. Okay, 2 o'clock, Instruments of Christ. They'll be presenting next week. All right. What else? A lot going on. Busy time, a good time. But please, 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 in the midst of all the busyness, let's make sure we magnify the mighty deed of God's mercy. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask y'all to stand with me. I'm going to let you get inside because it's going to be cold out there. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. It's good to be with family. It's good to be where we love and are loved. It is good to know where You are in our midst and how You love us. And God, as we go from this place, we pray You go with us, that we might carry the good news to a world that needs to know that You have done a mighty deed and Your mercy is available to whosoever will. Help us to magnify You in our life and in our living this coming week. Be with the program tonight. May You speak to us clearly as we fellowship together. Be with us through all the opportunities this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My Lord.